for Rational Talk Radio.
Thank you for once again joining me. This is Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis, talking with you and encouraging your phone calls also at 844-967-2789 right here at the Shaw in downtown Waukesha in connection with our review this morning of what we do know about the affidavit that was presented by an FBI agent to the magistrate judge in South Florida to justify the search and seizure of documents at Mar-a-Lago, the present and former, the present location, a residence of the former president, Donald Trump. I was talking before the break about how we get into this, how the affidavit describes the beginning of this investigation, in particular, this referral from the National Archives, NARA, this acronym, over to the Department of Justice based upon the review of these 15 boxes that it had in fact gotten, including lots of classified records and, frankly, sort of a mess of unfolded, intermixed with other records, other improperly identified documents, calling attention to the fact that some of them are classified in nature. And so in the wake of that referral, what happens? We know once again from the affidavit now disclosed as of yesterday that between May and May 16th and May 18th of this year, 2022, FBI agents conducted a preliminary review of those boxes. They went through them. This is part of the investigation. They get this referral from the National Archives and says, we've got some peculiarities here in terms of things we got back from the president's personal residence after his term in office. And the FBI agents go through that, and they identify documents with classification markings in 14 of the 15 boxes, okay? 14 of the 15 boxes. They say a preliminary triage of those documents with classification markings revealed this, and you probably have seen the numbers. You've heard about this already in the media. 184 unique documents bearing classification markings. 67 of those mark confidential, 92 mark secret, 25 mark top secret. In addition, FBI agents observed markings reflecting the following compartments dissemination controls, as they're described. And here are the acronyms HCS, FISA, FISA, ORCON, NO FOREIGN, and SI. Based upon my training experience, the FBI agent says in the affidavit, I know that documents classified at these levels typically contain National Defense Information, or NDI. Several of the documents also contained what appear to be the former president's handwritten notes. Now, what do all those acronyms mean? HCS is a reference, significantly, to documents that could reveal clandestine human intelligence sources. In addition to this reference early on to the fact that there may be some obstruction going on here, this, I think, is the other major, really important thing coming out of this affidavit disclosure. What are human intelligence sources? Well, you might think, gee, those are people coming forward, and certainly that is the case. It means more than that in the context of classified materials, which this focus is all about. We're talking here about people who are a part of our national service, our foreign service, our spies, who are located in nations both friendly and unfriendly around the world. The great concern by people at the CIA, I had a fair amount of exposure to this when I was in Iraq myself, great concern about human intelligence sources and the fact that some of these documents might include identifications of people who are in these very clandestine, very secretive, very sensitive positions. That is huge, and that is no small matter as you understand what HCS means and why it is the FBI was taking this so very seriously. FISA is a reference to national security surveillance. ORCON is a reference to a special system of controls in which the person who originally marks something as classified has to be consulted before it's shared with anybody else beyond those who were pre-approved for it. No foreign means the information cannot be shared with foreign governments. Again, if it's in that category, lots of things when I was in Iraq in that category, do not share these with any foreign governments, an indication that these are not simply records of speeches or random notes about appearances in the public domestic venues here in America. These are things related to our connections with and even our investigation, our clandestine investigations of foreign nations and our secret service, our secret agents in those entities, SI, a reference to a system for so-called sensitive compartmented information, which is an extra set of limits over and above all these other categories that's meant to protect technical and intelligence information, again, related to a surveillance of foreign communications. Again, all of that. Why do I go into all that? It underscores the significance of the documents that were found in these 15 original documents. These are not, as I just indicated, simply notes, speeches given, communications about very important and perhaps also not public, but nonetheless, things that did not involve foreign involvement and issues related to our national security. Basically, a clear statement in this affidavit that this is significant. This is hugely important. Human sensitivities here, human sources, human intelligence in the nature of things going on overseas. A large portion, as I indicate, a huge major core of this affidavit is redacted. And so we do not know about it. What it means is that there's an awful lot of information here supporting the notion that there is probable cause based upon the review of these 15 documents to go in to believe that there is more beyond what was simply provided in those 15 documents. We know as well, based upon separate reporting and also indications in the affidavit, that in the wake of all of this happening, there were multiple attempts by the Department of Justice and others to get those additional documents back. There was an initial outreach by virtue of a letter. There was a grand jury subpoena in June of this year, likewise issued to the lawyers for the former president. A reference, an admission, a statement by a counsel from the former president in the summer of this year indicating that everything had been produced, no more things to acquire, nothing else to be seized at Mar-a-Lago, a statement, a representation, plainly not true, belied by the fact that the Department of Justice went back and said, nope, there's still more information there. They then got the search warrant after increasing, if you will, the requests, the demands, going from a simple request to a grand jury subpoena, finally to a search warrant, seeking the recovery of these additional documents. Along the way, on page 22, they also note, plainly because of some surveillance, perhaps some video accounting of what's going on there, that there is in fact a concern about the maintenance and the retention of those documents at Mar-a-Lago, even as attempts to acquire them are going forward. A letter written by the Department of Justice to counsel for the president in June of this year says, we ask that the room at Mar-a-Lago where the documents have been stored be secured, and that all of the boxes that were moved from the White House to Mar-a-Lago, along with any other items in that room, be preserved in that room in their current condition until further notice. In other words, some concern, again, this is in the affidavit, that these documents are even being moved around, perhaps, at Mar-a-Lago. Additional long portions of the affidavit that are not disclosed in support of probable cause, ultimately coming to this finding, this recommendation, this finding based upon information deemed to be reliable, based upon witnesses, other documents, all the information assembled in this past summer. This finding on page 26, there is probable cause to believe that documents containing classified NDI, national defense information, and presidential records remain on the premises. And again, those premises, Mar-a-Lago. Again, that's the basis upon which the magistrate judge finds probable cause to go back in. And significantly, on page 29, again, non-redacted, the locations of where those documents might be, including the 45 office, other spaces in that location, paragraph 78 says this, evidence of the subject offenses has been stored in multiple locations at the premises. This is not just in one location, multiple locations, haphazardly maintained and in various locations around the estate described in the affidavit. A very interesting insight, again, not to the specifics about probable cause here. That was plainly there, but we just don't know about it. But nonetheless, a lot of indications about the genesis of this investigation, where it was, why there was such concern over time, beginning in the early months of this year, ultimately culminating in this search warrant in August. What happens now? What happens now? Well, even the affidavit itself describes that as well. This is a part of routine practice. Again, even more civics this morning to chat with you about. In the wake of a retrieval of this sort, a production, if you will, through the FBI, seizure of documents, not unusual for the Department of Justice, a U.S. Attorney's Office, Maine Justice, any of the entities there responsible for the oversight of an investigation and prosecution, not at all unusual. As a matter of fact, routine and expected. It is ethical, it's right, to establish what's called a privilege review team. And what is the purpose of that team, also described in this affidavit? To ensure that any potentially attorney-client privileged information between the president and his counsel are not properly, that are were seized during the course of this, identified and returned, and are not a part of the investigation going forward. We're going to talk more about that right after the following break. Again, here in Morning Cannolis, chatting about this affidavit and then drawing some conclusions about this document and the other document that we talked about this morning. Join us here at WAUK The Shaw in downtown Waukesha.